Morning, everyone. Yeah, do sign up to the website. It's going to be incredible. And then we're all going to have this little church app on our phones, if we have phones with apps. And then the calendar and events and all sorts of things will just be pinging to your phone. It's going to be fabulous. So we don't always have to log on to our computers at home. Okay, here we are, start of a new season. How exciting is this? And how exciting is it for me to be standing here with just my Bible and a couple of notes? Well, I'll tell you why it's that exciting. When I went to print my message last night, it wasn't on the computer. It wasn't anywhere. We looked everywhere. It was ridiculous. These things can't happen, but they did. And it's because God wanted me to do something different this morning. So I thought, well, I'm not going to stay up all night and try and do something else. I'll wait for a God-inspired dream, and then I'll take my notes. Well, I woke up this morning with the alarm clock with no God-inspired dream, but I do know that what I'm bringing this morning is from God. And it isn't the notes that I had on my computer. It's this stuff here. This is what God wants me to do. And I was saying to someone earlier, I've always loved looking at people, preachers, who can stand on the platform with just their Bible and a couple of notes in them. I've always thought, that looks so cool to do that. And here I am. Doesn't feel quite so cool. But it's going to be great. Why don't we turn together to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. I'm going to read the whole chapter. Amazing that Stu this morning, when he was hosting, mentioned altars, because that's where we're going to start. At the start of 2016 at Skylark Church, we're going to build an altar together. Joshua 4, I'm reading from the NLT. I believe the NLT will be on the screen behind me as well. When all the people were safely across the river, the Lord said to Joshua, "Now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell the men to take 12 stones from where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan and pile them up at the place where you camp tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men and told them, "Go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder. 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask, 'What do these stones mean to you?' Then you can tell them, 'They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a permanent memorial among the people of Israel.'" So the men did as Joshua told them. They took the 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan River, one for each tribe, just as the Lord had commanded Joshua. They carried them to the place where they camped for the night and constructed the memorial there. Joshua also built another memorial of 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan, at the place where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing. The memorial remains there to this day. I feel that, you know, we know this story. We know that that Joshua had led the Israelites across the water, and God had done that through a miraculous parting, just like when he did the Red Sea, when he parted the Red Sea. And this memorial was to be built to remind the people of God's faithfulness so that for generations to come, you could say, this was amazing. What God did here was phenomenal. And as we've mentioned many times, the great thing about an altar, the great thing about this kind of memorial is that it helps us with whatever we're facing now. Because we can look back at the faithfulness of God here, 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 all the way back to the beginning of our Bibles. And then we can look at the situation we see with our eyes and say, God is faithful, as we've heard this morning from Maria. It's all amazing how God has tied it all together this morning. God's faithfulness endures forever. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's important that in our lives we build altars. We build these memorials. And so at the start of this year, I've got back here, it's quite funny really, I've got lots of building blocks, tons of them. I'm going to start off with these few here. There they are. Kick those off there gracefully. And I've got loads of blocks, hopefully enough for everybody in the room. How exciting is this? Okay, now, what I want us to do is to spend a little bit of time thinking either over 2015 or over the season of CGC Chelmsford for some things in our mind that we are grateful for, that we are thankful for. We're like, God, I remember your faithfulness in this situation, in this last year, over the last 17 or so years of CGC Chelmsford. I'm so grateful for this. And then when you've spent some time thinking about it, praying about it and thanking God for it, come up and begin to construct an altar here. Now look, there will be construction experts in the room who are thinking, well, that's going to fall over. Why are you putting that one there? Try not to stress if that's you. Come out and give us a wide base so we've got a chance. Remember, don't put the first 20 just on top of each other because we're going to be in trouble. It's not the Tower of Babel. We want just to try to build an altar here. If we build a few, that's absolutely fine. But the most important thing is that we are physically getting up out of our seats, picking up a block, saying, thank you, God, for that. I remember your faithfulness and I will not forget it. Put it down here. If you've got a phone and you want to take a quick snapshot of your block, then do it. But remember God's faithfulness. This is an important thing to do. This isn't just like watching CBeebies or something and wondering what's going on. This is important. Okay, this is remembering God's faithfulness as we move into everything that he has for us in the future. So, there you go. Take a moment to think. I'll stop talking. When you're ready, be the brave first few people to come out and begin to build an altar of thanksgiving to God. Is that probably most of those are for different things. God is being thanked and being blessed and being honored today, and it brings such glory to his name, and I love that. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness. We thank you for everything that this represents. Over the last year and over the last years, you are faithful. We take time to remember. As we embark on the new season, we don't want to forget what has been, but we want to build on it. Thank you, Lord. Something that's really exciting about that passage, it's really brilliant, and it wasn't deliberate in our eyes, in my eyes, but it's deliberate in God's eyes, is when you look at verse 19. The people crossed the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. Check that out. The month that marked their exodus from Egypt. So on the 10th day of the first month of the year, of their calendar, they built an altar, and on the 10th day of the first month of our calendar, we build an altar. That is absolutely phenomenal. Cool. Okay. Something else to talk about. As you see, there's more things for you to come forward for in a while. But first of all, I'd like to talk about what Nikki and I did at the start of the year in that Twixtmas period between Christmas and New Year when we went to seek God. We went looking for a walk. We went for a walk to find God and just to spend some time reflecting on the year and to find plans for the way forward. This is Aria's, by the way, best church service ever. She's just got a box of blocks and she's having the time of her life. So don't worry too much about her shouting. We decided to go for a walk because last year had been pretty intense. It had been a fast-paced treadmill, 2015. We were quite tired. We were thinking, I don't know if we can keep going at this relentless pace. Does anyone feel the same? Did anyone feel the same towards the end of last year? This has been a hard slog. Can't be what it's supposed to be. Life isn't supposed to be a hard, relentless slog on a treadmill. So we went to find God, to spend some time seeking him. And we thought, best place to go, Southend Pier. What a beautiful place to go. So we went to Southend Pier, we walked down, we got the train back, and we had a really good time as we just walked and prayed and chatted and spent some time in silence before God. About a third of the way down the pier, there was a vending machine. And the vending machine had one word on it with a question mark, and that word was thirsty. Thirsty, question mark. And I looked at it and I thought, yes, I am. We're seeking you, God, and you can speak through anything, whether it be birds up a hill or whether it can be vending machines on the pier. Our God speaks. And the question he said to me was, are you thirsty? I was like, yes, I am. I am thirsty for more of you in my life, God, and for a closer walk with you, a closer communion with you. That's what I need, and I feel that's what many of us need today. Are you thirsty today for more of God as we start this new season? Nikki and I have had the privilege and pleasure of going on a few holidays to different African countries, and one we went to was Kenya. And while we were there in our hotel, we made friends with Robert, our waiter. He was a lovely guy. He's a Christian guy, and we chatted with him many times. And one day he came to us and he said, my wife Christine and I would love to invite you and welcome you to our village. We're like, oh, wow, that sounds amazing, thank you. And we weren't sure whether it would actually be possible to do it, but we did manage to go. One day we got ourselves into the back of a little vehicle and off we went to this guy's village. And we went out off the beaten track, further off the beaten track, way off any kind of track. We were going down there. You suddenly get all these stories. Where did these two disappear to? You know, they got in a tuk-tuk and they were never seen again. You know, and you're like, no, don't be silly. We're just going to visit Robert's family. But, and so off we go. And we kept going and kept going. And then we arrived in this village. And there was so much excitement in this little village that we had arrived. And the children were crazy when they saw us. And Robert said to us, any child here under five's never seen white skin. So you're an enigma to them. That's an amazing thing. They're so excited. Let them, you know, touch your arms and stuff. So we're down there and they're just feeling the hairs on our arms. And it was brilliant. We had such a lovely time. We gave all the children gifts. And we were shown around their house. We had a lovely time. And then the ladies went off to get water. And so we decided to go down with them. And so got this beautiful picture of Nikki walking with like 20 little kids around her all, and the ladies all down to the water. And they had to get their water out of the river into these heavy sort of plastic containers, stick them on their heads and wander back to the village, about a half a mile walk, I suppose, each way. And they were absolutely astounded that Nikki not only couldn't put the water on her head and walk with it, they were astounded she couldn't even pick it up. And they just, that was so indoctrinated, so part of their culture, that they could just do this from a young age, get the water up on their heads and just wander back just to the village with water on their head, these ladies. And they then had to go back to the village and they had to boil it and make it suitable for drinking. Still not suitable for us to drink, but suitable for them to drink. And it was even a crocodile-infested river, so they had a couple of people looking out in case a croc made a quick dart out of the bank. And so this was their reality for getting water. And then when you come home to England and you've been to places where water is, that is the story for water, you then come home and you turn on your tap. And even now, even today, when I turn on my tap, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for the easy access we have to drinkable water. It's phenomenal. The third of the planet don't have that, and we are so blessed to have it. We have no excuses for going without water. And yet this question on this vending machine jumped out at me. Thirsty? And I was like, yep. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Are you thirsty today? Some people in the world, many people in the world, have a perfect excuse for being thirsty. In the natural. We have no excuse for being thirsty in the natural, yet many of us walk around with a dehydration headache. It's true, isn't it? Many of us have to take a paracetamol or a something because we've got that cracking headache and we know it's because we're dehydrated. We just haven't had enough to drink. We remembered our meals, but we forgot to drink throughout the day, and we go back and think, all I've had today, I think I've only had a cup of coffee at breakfast, maybe a cup of tea somewhere, but I haven't had hardly anything, and we need to drink. There is a tap probably 20 feet away from us all the time, nearly, apart from if we're walking between places. There's always a place to get water, and yet many of us are dehydrated in the natural. And the same is true for us spiritually. We, as people who know Jesus, have no excuse for being dehydrated spiritually. And yet many of us walk around in a dehydrated state. And I had some trouble when I was studying this and looking at it, because I saw the story in John 4, and Jesus said, if you drink the water I'm going to give you, you're never going to thirst again. And I didn't want to come here today and give you some sort of false theology that says we continue to be thirsty forever. You know, if we're never going to be thirsty again, why am I even doing this message? And as I looked around and I read around that and I wanted to get it right, I looked at John 7, where it said that this living water would bubble up inside you. And by that, there's a little definition of what Jesus meant. By that, he meant the Holy Spirit living inside you. And suddenly I thought, okay, this thirst that can be quenched is quenched by the Holy Spirit living inside us. But then in Ephesians 5, it says we need to be continually filled with the Spirit. Peter himself was filled, it says in the Bible, at least on 5 separate occasions to do the ministry he was called to. So continual filling is okay. Therefore, continual need to drink in more of the Holy Spirit is actually okay. And I think the reason we get thirsty spiritually is not that we don't have access, It's that we choose to not use the tap. We have Holy Spirit living in us. We have no reason or no need to be thirsty ever again. But yet many of us choose to live in a drought situation in our lives because we don't live in close communion with Holy Spirit in our lives. And I really want to be refreshed this year. I know what it's like when I stand on this platform to speak and I didn't drink enough on Saturday. Because it doesn't matter how many drinks I have up here on the stage, I can't stop my mouth being dry. Also, it's important for us to remember that we can't drink enough today to see us through till next week. We can't do that. There are certain vitamins that are water soluble. You can't gorge on them and expect them to last because you'll just excrete them. The same is true with water that we drink naturally. If we drink 20 litres today so that we're okay till next Saturday, it's not going to work. But sometimes we live like that with God. We drink loads in on a Sunday. We drink loads in at the service or at the launch or even at the annual conference. Maybe this annual conference will keep me going until next year's annual conference. Holy Spirit lives inside us and needs to be accessed constantly. Constantly in close communion with God so that that living water can rise up in us and refresh people around us. Yet we don't do it. We don't draw close. I don't do it. I don't draw close to God. I don't draw close enough. And I live with a spiritual dehydration headache. And I try to think, how can I stop this headache? Maybe a paracetamol spiritually might do it. But God wants me to commune with him closely. He wants me and you to walk with him closely this year. Isaiah 55 says, come to me. Is anyone thirsty? Come to me. Come to me and drink. Come, even if you don't have any money, come. What I've got for you, you don't need money for. And I was looking at that verse and I thought, you know what? Money, let's get rid of money for the time being. How about if you don't have what you think you need to get the stuff from God? If you don't have the right life, if you don't have the right amount of purity, holiness, I can't come to you, God, because I was so bad last week. The things I even said to my family this morning are so foul that if people in the church knew, I would be humiliated, gutted, I couldn't even show my face. I cannot come to you, God, because I don't have the money I need to buy this stuff from you. And God says, come to me anyway and drink. Drink, don't live in a place of dehydration. Come and be close with me this year. And that's the challenge. That is the challenge that I want to put out to us this year as we put out an altar of remembrance here and we remember God's faithfulness in 2015 and in the previous years and we celebrate that. The thing for us as we now move into this new phase called Skylark Church, we don't want to be a dehydrated people. There was a vending machine next to the other one that said thirsty. It had three words on it. It had rehydrate, refresh, and recharge. I thought, that's amazing. Rehydrate, there's the first thing God wants us to do this morning. Will we drink afresh of his Holy Spirit? Will we allow ourselves to be refreshed? If you see something that's a dehydrated food or a dehydrated anything and you restore the water to it, it expands, it becomes all that it was supposed to be. Do you need to rehydrate this morning? Do you need to refresh? Do you need a refreshing from God? I know I do. I want to give us all the chance this morning to be refreshed by God's presence. And if you think of refresh on a computer screen, slightly newer version that the Bible wasn't talking about, but you hit it again, you reload that page, especially if things have been a bit faulty and nothing seems to be working. It's like, what's going on? Just hit refresh. Let's start that. Let's reload that page and let's do that part of the journey again. Come on, let's start afresh this morning. And then recharge. They that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. We know we have to charge our phones every night, but we don't recharge ourselves with God as frequently as we recharge our laptops and our phones. Because we're more actually dependent on our laptops and our phones most of the time. If I haven't got my phone, I'm like, oh my gosh, where's my phone? Oh no, I've left it at home. What am I going to do? I don't know anything. I don't know who anybody is. I don't know any numbers. I don't know what I'm doing. Where's my diary? You know, it's. But if I kind of forget about God for half a day, I don't even notice. We need to make sure that we put God in his right place at the start of this year. And we need to make sure that we are fully hydrated, that we are fully refreshed, and we are fully recharged. And we need to remember that Ephesians 5 says, be continually filled with the Spirit. John 7 says that this living water will rise up inside us. John 4 says, come to me. He says, come, drink this to this lady. Come and drink this stuff, and you'll never need to be thirsty again. Isaiah 55, there's a welcoming invitation from God. Come, come, all who are thirsty. I know I am. I'm actually thirsty in the natural at the moment, but I'm so thirsty spiritually because God has so much in store for us. We got a glimpse of it yesterday. We got a glimpse of it again today. What God has in store for us, we have no idea about. We have no mind has seen, no eyes seen, no mind has conceived what God's got in store for those who love him. And also for us as a church here in Chelmsford, we have no idea what God's got in store for us. But if we switch off that tap inside and live in a dry place, we're never going to see it. And so at the front here again, out your chairs for the second time, you have built an altar. We've got about 12 minutes, so there's no rush. Try not to knock the water over. We have 8 tables here, little cups. Come and pour yourself some water as a sign that this year, at the start of this new season, 2016, Skylark Church, and everything that is in store for us, that we are hydrated with God, that we're saying, yes, we're coming to Jesus because we're thirsty and we want to live in that place of refreshing. Help yourself. I'm going to pray to thank God for the altar of remembrance, to thank God for a fresh infilling of his Spirit and refreshing. And then I'd like us to stand as we sing together, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Why don't we just sing that over ourselves, over our families, over our work situations, over our city, over Skylark Church. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. But let me pray first. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness that endures forever throughout all generations. And we thank you for every block here, every promise kept by you, every faithful act of you shown to us, your people. And God, I pray that this brings glory and honor to your name. And Lord, I thank you for the refreshing, for the rehydration, for the recharging that you have given us this morning. Thank you for your invitation that is to all of us, regardless of whether we think we've got the money to buy it or not, that we can come to you and drink. And the Holy Spirit, that you will live in us and you will give us that opportunity to be refreshed daily. And we choose today to be those who turn on the tap. We thank you for water in the natural and we thank you for water in the spiritual. May we not be a dehydrated people, but may we be a hydrated and ready to go people, fully functional because we are fully full of your Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here in this place, in our lives, in our hearts, in our families, in our colleagues, in our workplaces, in our cities, in our streets, in our neighborhoods. Holy Spirit, flood out. Living water, rise up in us and saturate the people we meet. We turn the taps on this morning.